Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Empowerment Place. This is your host, Apostle Valerie Burrell, grateful and thankful to God for another opportunity to come before you all with an empowering message. I want to thank everybody, first of all, before we get started. Thank you all for your constant support. We're grateful for the increase in followers and listeners each week, and we want to invite you all in the Bluefield, Virginia, West Virginia region on Saturday at 10 a.m. We will be hosting our first women's conference in this region entitled Hear Me Roar. We are excited about the women who will be sharing, Sandra Argo, Abby Leroy, and Cheryl Morgan will be our speakers. We will have praise and worship from one of my students, I call them mine, Nicole, and ministry and dance from my daughter, Whitney. We are expecting a move of God. No pretense, no pomp and circumstance, but truly a time of gathering together to empower each other, to relay to each other truth about our experiences, and to awaken that which has been lying dormant inside of us as women. So again, I want to invite all those women in the Bluefield, Virginia, West Virginia region to join us Saturday, October 13th, 10 a.m. at the Bluefield College Schott Hall, A and B. There's no cost. Again, no cost. This is a free event, praise God. We don't want you to have an excuse not to show up. So this is a free event. We invite you to come, bring your women's group, your book groups, your sewing circle, whatever the case may be. We invite you to join us at Bluefield College Saturday, October 13th, at 10 o'clock, 8 for Hear Me Roar Women's Conference. If you would like to register to help us with knowing how many to expect, you can go to eventbrite.com and get your free ticket. But again, that's Hear Me Roar, being held Saturday, October 13th, starting at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bluefield College, 3000 College Avenue, Bluefield, Virginia, 24605. Amen. Accompanying that, we give God praise for Hear Me Roar, the book, which has been released, and we've had phenomenal response already to this book. It is available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. It is available in Kindle. I'm not recommending Kindle because I'm not satisfied with that release. However, it's out there. Amen. But please purchase the book. It's on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble, Hear Me Roar. We're excited because we've gotten feedback, and we will be traveling with this tour, this conference, during 2019. And if you're interested, please send me a message, empower_yourself@yahoo.com, or send me a message on Facebook, Valerie Burrell, and we can give you more information about bringing Hear Me Roar to a city near you. Praise God. So tonight, our topic is when serving God seems hard. When serving God seems hard. And I know most people who are religious will be, oh, serving God is not hard. It's so easy. Yeah. When you're in that place, in that space, in that mindset, and you are being obedient to what it is that God has spoken, yeah, it does seem hard. But even in the midst of doing all that you know to do, there are times that you face some challenges, times that you start feeling some kind of way because it doesn't seem as if things are falling in place. And you cry out, God, but I did this. God, but I did that. God, I've done all these things. And it still doesn't seem to work. We're going to talk about that tonight. I'm going to come out of Jeremiah. We're going to look at a few accounts where Jeremiah cried out And we're going to just sort of see what it is that the Holy Spirit has to reveal to us about how we're to respond when serving God seems hard. So, Father, we thank you now. We give you praise for this teaching time. Holy Governor, we acknowledge you as our chief teacher now. We ask that you would inspire, enlighten, and reveal to us that which you desire to be released to our listening audience on tonight. Father, I give you praise now. I give you praise now for what's about to take place to glorify you, Father. We give you praise, we give you glory and honor, and we count it done in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 My husband's here. Amen. Husband, do you have any thoughts on when serving God seems hard to open us up? Amen. Amen. We do have a few callers on the line tonight. Amen. I welcome you in joining this conversation. Prophets, amen. Because for the prophet, it's challenging. Sometimes when you hear the Holy Spirit with things to speak and you want to do what God says, and in doing so, challenges arise. So please press 1. I would love for you to join in on this dialogue. So when we look at Jeremiah, we're going to look at Jeremiah 12, 1 through 6. We're going to look at Jeremiah 27 through 18. And we're going to look at, we'll just look at those two. Well, we'll look at Jeremiah 11 through 12, 6. Jeremiah serves God, and he continues to serve God, but he complained to God. He complained because he's been delivering God's message. In doing so, it resulted in hardship for him. I can raise my hand to that because I felt this way at times when I'm doing what God says. And me being obedient to what God says causes hardship with people. And a part of that is because people don't always want truth. I'll rephrase. People don't want truth. They don't want truth. I'm not going to say sometimes. Generally, people want to hear what they want to hear. They don't necessarily want to hear a word of accountability. They don't want to hear a word that says you have to change some ways, you have to change some habits. They want something that's agreeable, something that makes them feel as though they're going to get whatever they want at whatever cost. And that's not it. We have to be obedient, and Jeremiah understands this, that even in his prayers to God and these accounts, we still have to remain faithful, even when it gets challenging. So first, let's look at Jeremiah 12, 1 through 6, and it says this, it reads this way, "You're always righteous, O Lord, when I bring a case before you, yet I would speak with you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all these faithless live at ease? You have planted them, and they have taken root. They grow and bear fruit. You are always on their lips, but far from their hearts. Yet you know me, O Lord. You see me, and you test my thoughts about you. Drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of the slaughter. How long will the land lie parched in the grass? Because those who live in it are wicked, the animals and birds have perished. Moreover, the people are saying, he will not see what happens to us. If you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses? If you stumble in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? Your brothers, your own family, even they have betrayed you. They have raised a loud cry against you. Do not trust them, though they speak well of you." It sounds like Jeremiah had attitude, don't it? It does to me. He was a little bothered. To the extent that he didn't just cry out to God. He wanted God to serve notice to them. Like this was legal. This was legal. He was like, God, you know what? I want justice.
that I want justice. I want justice. I want you to handle them because of what they've done and what they're doing. God, execute justice on them. And I'm sure, you know, in hearing this and looking at this, I'm like, what is it that we're thinking sometimes when we enlist this type of conversation with God? And we know that God is not going to really respond to that, not really respond. God's not going to respond to that because each one of us is accountable to him based on our own relationship. And when we get tired in our doing, we can't be so mad at who's not doing or who appears to be flourishing in what they're doing or not doing and want God to get them. I know I've had those moments where I was like, God, get them. God, get them. And he was like, well, you want me to get you too? And I was like, oh, never mind. I'm sorry. I take that back. I didn't really mean that. I really wasn't playing. But for him to flip it back on me and say, if you're wanting me to be just to them because of how they're making you feel, then I'm going to also have to be just with you, Valerie. I can't just do it with people who've upset you. I'm going to be just across the board. And so in this account, when Jeremiah was feeling some kind of way, if you don't change the way you're thinking, things are going to only seem worse. I'm watching. I'm there with you. I'm not going to leave you. But you have to understand that trials and tribulations are going to come. Persecutions are going to come. It's going to seem hard sometimes. But that's not a reason for you to give up on me. And that's not a reason for you to give up on purpose. Okay, God. Okay. I wanted to take that somewhere else. I did. But I hear you, Holy Spirit. So it calls for transparency. Transparency in this hour, in this teaching time, because when we're doing a work for God as he has instructed us, and this account in Jeremiah, and there are a few others where not only was he crying out for justice, he was crying out for release, he was crying out for deliverance. There were several accounts I read in Jeremiah that was speaking to my spirit, but even as I sit here now, I have to understand that when I'm feeling some kind of way and I'm expressing a complaint to God, that it's not indicative of the fact that my faith is weak. God loves to hear that we're passionate about what we do. He loves to hear that we're experiencing trouble. He is listening to our heart cries, and he knows when service gets hard. He knows these things. And he wants us to bring our questions to him and our struggles to him. And in doing so, he then retools us to strengthen us in our time of trouble. He's there. He's there in our time of need. He's there. When we go throughout the Bible, we'll find many accounts of people who had difficulties where their faith was tested. But again, difficulties in this journey do not speak to the fact that we don't have faith. It speaks to the fact that there's opportunity for growth. There's opportunity for growth. And I'm grateful to God because I recognize even in myself that there is opportunity for growth, even in this season that I'm in where God is blessing tremendously, where doors are being opened, opportunities are being presented. Yet I still say, God, wait a minute. What is going on here? God, what are they doing? God, why is this taking place? And he's saying to me, Valerie, you don't have to worry about any of that.
you don't have to worry about words being spoken. You don't have to worry about acts being launched towards you. You don't have to worry about any of that. Yes, it may seem hard because you're giving your all to complete that which I've called you to do. And it seems as though sometimes you're not getting the assistance that you desire or the support that you desire or the finances you feel that you need. Or there's a whole list of things that I could call out that I start feeling some kind of way when it just seems like things are not falling in place. And no, it's not because I don't have faith in God, because I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, I've been in this place before. That I'm like, God, what are we doing? God, how is this going to work? God, what? I'm saying, God, what? And he's saying, I got it. Chill out. I got it. And in every instance, I'm telling you, in every instance, when I felt myself up against the wall, where I felt like, God, this is hard. God, wait a minute, this is hard. God, wait a minute, this is hard. And I'm crying out to him, and I'm praying prayers, and I'm certain, God, forgive me, even as I'm right here right now. There are some times that I probably prayed a dumb prayer. And I say, it was out of context. It did not have any scriptural backing to it. It was my emotions just coming out because I wasn't in control. So did I have faith? Yes. Do I have faith? Yes. But in my moment of tribulation, I lost sight of what it is that God was trying to do. I lost sight of what this work that I had been assigned was really about, where I've taken and an effort to empower God's people. In that moment, I needed to be recharged and refueled. And I'm certain that, you know, when you read these accounts in Jeremiah, when Jeremiah was feeling some kind of way, we get that way sometimes because we don't do what we need to do for self. And I know when I was Seeking Truth a few weeks ago, or probably a month or so ago, we talked about self-care and the importance of self-care. And I know that for myself, when I don't properly rest and take care of myself, I find myself being more anxious. I find myself being more moved by situations than I need to. But it's because my body is not in alignment. And when my body is not in alignment, my spirit is out of adjustment. And then my mind begins to do odd things that are contrary to the word. But here, I'm sharing with you all tonight, as I do all the time, transparent, that there are times that it seemed hard to do what it is that God had called me to. It seemed hard to release the word, to tell others that they need to repent, that they need to get saved, that they need to live a life according to God's plan, that we are the righteousness of God. And because of that, there's an accountability that comes with this walk. There were times, y'all, did it seem hard? And the attacks came because people didn't want to hear that. They wanted things to stay at the status quo. No change, no alterations, nothing intriguing. Let's just keep it the way it is. Everybody's happy. And let's keep, you know, we're just going to keep it moving. Don't rock the boat. Let's just let it be what it is and keep it moving. But that's not who I was. That's not who I am. I recognize that I'm a change agent. I recognize that I operate differently. I operate with truth. I operate according to that which His Spirit leads me to do. And it's not always welcomed. And when I'm not in the right place, I struggle. Again, we've got a few callers on the line. If you've ever experienced a time where it seems hard, or you've watched others struggle when they're attempting to do what it is that God has called them to, press 1. I'd love to bring you on the line so that you can share. Honey, do you have a situation or something that you can share with our listening audience tonight about when serving sometimes seems hard? Amen. 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 Our callers are on the line. Amen. If you're in a place to share, again, please press 1 and come on the line. We'd love to hear from you on tonight. Amen. God bless you, Prophet. Thank you for joining.
God bless you. It's a great lesson that you're teaching. I guess the only thing that I would share is when you were first reading the scripture of Jeremiah and talking about the struggles when you see someone else doing so well. I know in our Bible study, we've often had the conversation of, you know, not comparing yourself to anyone else. Everyone's journey is their own journey. And it's only, for me, I guess, it's only going to be as difficult as you make it. I think oftentimes when others don't necessarily recognize where the message is coming from, they see the messenger and not really hear the message. I think that can be, I don't know what trading is the right term to use. I think sometimes it just saddens me that people are not open to receive truth when it's directed towards them. And, you know, it's so easy for us to see a negative or anything that should be directed towards someone else. But when it actually comes to us, we want to put up those barriers to ward it off as such.
Amen. 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 Thank you for sharing. Amen. Amen. I look at another account that Jeremiah gave, with Jeremiah 17, verses 14 through 18. He reads this way: "Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise. They keep saying to me, 'Where is the word of the Lord? Let it be now be fulfilled.' I have not run away from being your shepherd. You know I have not desired the day of despair. What passes my lips is open before you. Do not be a terror to me. You are my refuge in the day of disaster. Let my persecutors be put to shame, but keep me from shame. Let them be terrified, but keep me from terror. Bring on them the day of disaster. Destroy them with double destruction." And here he is again. This is another account. You know, when we get in a place and we feel in some kind of way, I can't even blame Jeremiah in this, because he's not the only one that's felt this way. You know what I'm saying? There are times when you'd be like, "God, please, I'm looking at all this stuff go on. God, why does it feel like I'm the one that's suffering and they're the one that's causing the pain and you're not doing anything?" You said a lot of times it's not that we're to compare, because we're not. We're fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. We don't need to compare ourselves to others. We certainly cannot compare our situation with someone else's situation. And when we're looking at what other people have, we only see what we can see. We don't see what we don't see. We don't know what's going on behind a closed door. We don't know what's going on in their mind. We don't know what's taking place in their heart. We don't know those things. We only see that which we see. And so we have to get to a place that even when we're looking across the fence, looking across the street, looking even within our own families, with our families and friends, and we're seeing things that are challenging to us, making us feel like, "God, if I'm doing all this to serve you and it seems like they're getting benefits and they're living like hellions, God, you know what? This is hard, but you know what? I know I've got to stay in this. I can't give up. I've got to remain faithful. I've got to stay in the press. I've got to press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ. I've got to do those things. I've got to remind myself that, God, you're always there with me, that you're never going to leave me or forsake me. God, that you are my all in all. You're my everything."
Indeed,
and if
indeed.
I just get myself out of the way, if I get myself out of the way to recognize what it is that you want to do instead of me trying to assess what I see, then maybe I'm going to be okay. Because I think that's something that happens to us as well, Prophet, that when we get into those situations where we're feeling some kind of way, we begin to try to analyze what's taking place. We try to figure it out. When it's not for us to figure out. It's for us to do what God has spoken. And when we start putting us in the equation and we determine what to do and we determine what the outcome is going to be, that's when we're going to find ourselves feeling like we're in that hard place.
Amen. 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 Yeah. And I think, too, for me, I began to ask that question instead of the why me, why not me? And that, I think, has really helped me when I might feel myself getting into or questioning. It's just, you know, why not me? That has to, you know, go through or endure, because I only think when we go through moments like that, I think our ability to discern is increased, and
yes,
our hearing also is more distinct to really, really, tune in to what he's releasing to us at that given moment.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. But I think in all of this, you know, it speaks to, again, having troubles does not mean that you don't have faith. We can have faith, but stuff's still going to show up. It's not going to change. Mm-hmm. Exercise your faith, but trials are going to come. But what we have to do, we have to remain focused on who we are. Like you said, when these things show up, you'll be like, oh, God, why me? Why not you? When we say we are who we are in the kingdom, when we say we are his sons and his daughters, when we proclaim that we are saved, that we are Christians, that we are Christ believers, we are the redeemed of God, we are his righteousness, if we are professing any of those things, guess what? Something's going to show up every now and again. And just depends upon how we handle it when it show up. It might show up a little more frequently just to get you to a place where you're able to handle what it is that God is releasing.
Amen.
And know, too, that when these things come, when these trials and tribulations come, the world is watching, but guess what? God is assessing us. He does assess us. Are you able to handle this? Because I've got more that I want to do through you. But if I can't trust you to do this little bit, I certainly cannot release this that I have for you next.
Amen.
So you got to get to the place that when this stuff is happening, when it's seeming hard, say, okay, God, Holy Spirit, show me what I'm supposed to do. Show me what I'm supposed to see. Show me how I'm supposed to respond to this, because I know that God has something else in store, and I want to get to that next place. So you know what? You have to start decreeing and declaring truth over your life concerning the moment that you're facing, with an understanding and an expectation that after this, there is greater. After this, God is going to use me the more. I am going to give God glory in this situation. I'm not going to be overcome by my flesh. I'm not going to be overcome with doubt. I'm not going to be led by naysayers, but I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust his word. I'm going to pray and articulate the heart of God in my prayer concerning those who do all manners of evil against me, because God, your word says that you will make my enemies my footstools, and I'm going to stand on that. So when it gets hard, when it even appears to be hard, God, I thank you for retooling my thoughts, that I'm operating with the mind of Christ. God, if necessary, I want you to go ahead and create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me so that I'm able to recognize what's taking place in the midst. So I don't overanalyze it and get myself in it and get my mind twisted, thinking that, oh, they after me. Oh, this is a vendetta against me. Oh, because they don't like me. No, it's none of that. but it's because of who you are in the kingdom of God that God can trust you to be his witness in a time where you're being persecuted for his sake. My God. Because they know that you're able to take it. But you have to know it too. Yeah, Valerie, you have to know it too. Yes, Valerie, you have to know it too. And so I encourage you all this evening. This did not go the way I expected. This did not go the way I had thought it out. This didn't go the way. But I bless God. I bless God. I bless God that it has gone the way that the Holy Spirit deemed it go. To encourage our listening audience tonight that no matter how you're feeling, when things are seeming stressful or hard and you feel like, God, is it worth it? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Oh, there's so much that God wants to do for us. There's so much that he wants to do for us. And it takes us giving him a yes. It takes us being obedient to his word. It takes us accepting his will, plan, and purpose for our lives and then executing it as the Spirit reveals. It takes us dying to the flesh. It takes us being willing to be persecuted for Christ's sake. That there are going to be times when we're not liked. That there are going to be times that we're talked about. There are going to be times that we're rejected. Doesn't matter. God is still with us. He's still with us. And we win in the end. He will vindicate us. Nothing that man can do, God will vindicate us. That's what he does. My prayer tonight is that you're one of them. That you are one of his children, one that he can look after and take care of and cover. He can hide you under his shadow. He's there. He's there. He's there. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Nino, can you pray us out? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we come to you this evening just thanking you, Lord, that you have opened our ears, our hearts, and our minds, Father God, to the word that was released this evening, Father God, for us to understand, Father God, when we are tested, Father God, we simply need to look to you, Father God, and to rely on you, Father God. For there will not be a day, Father God, when everyone is going to love us or respect us, Father God, or even be open to what it is that we have to say, Father God. But as we continue to serve you and to be obedient, God, we know that in the end, our greater is coming. We thank you, Father, for the Empowerment Place Ministry, Father God, and for the Blog Talk Radio that goes on each and every week, Father God, so that Apostle Valerie and Apostle Benny, Father God, will continue to empower your people, Father God, continue to build your kingdom here on earth. Father God, we thank you for their dedication and their continued obedience to you, Father God, and the greater that you have in store for them, Father God, will surely be revealed. These things we bring to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Business, thank you so much for joining us on this evening. For those who are on Facebook, we will be live tomorrow night at 9 p.m. for another episode of My Reality Reveal. And we again invite you, for those in the Bluefield, Virginia, West Virginia region, join us Saturday, October 13th at 10 a.m. at Bluefield College Shot Hall for Hear Me Roar Women's Conference. This is a free conference, and you're able to get tickets at eventbrite.com. As always, we encourage you to empower yourself daily. Something new. Empower yourself. Enrich your life. But after you've done that, please, my brothers and my sisters, take the responsibility to empower someone else, realizing that we indeed are the key to our own empowerment. We love you. God loves you more. Join us again next week. Until then, we say goodnight.